This morning, I'd like us to turn to the book of Psalms. We've just finished the series, Ask the In-Laws, and we aren't going to begin another series just yet. So, as has been our practice, we will go to the book of Psalms and see what the Lord has to say to us from that wonderful book. And we're going to read from Psalm 26. It's a Psalm of David. And the first verse. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his word. David is saying something to himself and to his critics and to his Lord in this psalm. He's saying, I'm different. Many people are nowhere with God today who didn't start out that way. They professed faith in the Lord Jesus as their personal saviour and did all the things young people from Christian homes do. They went to church. They stood up with others on Children's Day and Youth Sunday. They got the prizes. They went to the weekends. They stayed at the camps and so on. But when it came to being different, for many, it was a bridge too far. That bridge can present itself at high school. That bridge can present itself at college or uni. That bridge can present itself perhaps later on in a new workplace environment. That bridge can present itself when hoping to begin a new relationship. That bridge can present itself when relocating. Being different isn't an option for those who are overly concerned with fitting in, because their minds have been blinded into thinking that the only way to succeed and be popular is to abandon who you are as a person and become who you think others want you to be. This is the rock that all too many have perished on, placing acceptance with others above acceptance with God. David, in Psalm 26, is able to say, I'm different. Can we say that? Maybe you say, Preacher, where do you see that in Psalm 26? Well, a key verse, our key phrases are found in verses 9 to 10, where David says, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men or bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. In other words, don't gather me up in the same sweep as with the ungodly. And we get it again, verses 4 and 5. I have not sat with false people, vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I'm not going to consort with hypocrites. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, this is not the language of somebody blending in, of somebody easily persuaded, of somebody who has no discernment of people's characters. David is glad to say, I'm different. I wouldn't want to be like them. I'm not like them. David can say, I'm different. But he can also say, I'm different because of you, Lord. I wonder, can we say that? Psalm 26, end of verse 1 through to verse 3. I have trusted also in the Lord, in verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked in thy truth. That loving kindness, that steadfast love, it was before David's eyes, it was in view. That's what he was focused on. I will walk in your faithfulness, as Davy has it, in your truth. David's heart has been captivated by the love of God, the steadfast love of God, the loving kindness of God. His eyes have been opened to this, and they are still focused on this. And in these verses that we've singled out, we see his heart, his eyes, and his feet. Now, if you get nothing else out of this message, take that wee thought away. Even work on that yourself as your own personal study. As you come to different passages in the Word of God, think about your heart, your eyes, your feet. As you prepare to live in another week in God's will, think about that. Your heart, your eyes, your feet. David walks in God's faithfulness. The God who cannot lie, the true and living God, I've walked in thy truth. The God who often declares that he, God, is different. And God is different in all the best ways. This is something we find repeatedly in the book of Isaiah. A couple of examples are these. Isaiah 40. And there in verse 18 we read this question. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? This is the passage that talks about the workman who himself gets into his head, he's going to make an idol, he designs what he's going to do, then he goes and looks for the materials to use, and in course of time, he fashions an idol. And it's the foolishness of that, the foolishness of thinking that something you create in your own head with your own hands could possibly be worthy of worship. And God is using this as an illustration to ask the question, what are you comparing me to? And again, it's in Isaiah 46. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? And in that case, he's singling out two pagan deities, Baal and Nebo. And as he goes on to argue that they cannot possibly be anything like him because somebody has to carry them. Somebody has to take them from their place and move them. They can't even move themselves. So how could they possibly reach out their hand or by their power help us? And he goes on to explain in that illustration in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. He says, I am the God who can declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that are not done yet. In other words, way back, hundreds, sometimes thousands of years before events happen, God could say that they would happen. And only the true and living God could do that. So God says over and over, he is different. He is vastly different. He is immeasurably different. And God chose Israel as a nation so that the world through them would come to a knowledge of God. Of course, Israel failed in that office. But God chose them to be different. And it grieved him when they weren't different. It grieved him whenever they asked him for a king. And their request was, give us a king because we want to be like other nations. And there, of course, they were declaring their heart and how ungodlike they were going to now be as a nation. They had forgotten that God, without a king over Israel, had humiliated Pharaoh. They had no military might. They had no king. But God used them, the weak things, the slaves, we might say, to humiliate and defeat mighty Pharaoh. And also, God gave them as a nation without a king, victory after victory in their conquest of Canaan. And if you look at the history after they got their kings, king after king, you'll see that so often, more often than not, it was the kings who led them into idolatry, who led them away from God. It was the kings who took the glory from God. It was the kings who made alliances with ungodly nations around about. God is different. And God wanted his people corporately to be different. And David is being godlike and godly when he has a desire to be different. He has trusted in the Lord. He has been impacted by the steadfast love of the Lord and the Lord's faithfulness toward him. And really, he's saying, I'm different because of you, Lord. Again, we ask ourselves the question, are we different? We should be different because of the Lord, because of who God is, and because God steadfastly loves us. Well, David can also say, I'm different, and my testimony shows it. This is what we see right at the beginning of the psalm. He says, judge me, O Lord. He says, verse 2, examine me, O Lord. So he's laying his life open before the God who sees and knows everything anyway. And he's saying, I'm different and my testimony shows it. You see, we could profess to be a Christian and take the name of Christian, but does our testimony show it? In the psalm, we have some I haves of David and some I have nots. I have, in other words, done this. And there are occasions where David testifies, and I have not done that. The I haves and the I have nots of David's life story. Positives and negatives. Things to do that would show that he's different. But also things to abstain from doing, which mark him as different. Now, sometimes we get that the wrong way around, like Paul, who writes in Romans 7, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Isn't that a sad admission from the great apostle? And yet, can't we identify with that? For the good that I would, the things I know I should do, I'm not doing them. And there are things I most definitely know I shouldn't do, but I find those the easiest to do. But whether you're Paul or whether you're David, choices have consequences. And whenever David looks back over his life, thankfully he's able to see enough choices that openly show and even honestly show before the Lord that he's different. The I haves and I have nots that David can trace in his life, there's enough of them which speak of his integrity. Because it's the past choices that make us who we are. But there are also present choices. And in this psalm, you'll come to phrases like, I will. So the I haves and I have nots, we will also find David's I will, a determination when making present and future choices. You see, we can always beat ourselves up about the past choices we've made. But that's not an excuse for failing to go forward with a new resolve in the future choices that we make. Judge me, O Lord, verse 1, for I've walked in mine integrity. Verse 2, examine me, prove me, and try me. He's laying it on pretty thick here. So he's saying, Lord, you test me. If it were up to others to test David, or to test us, well, of course they might judge us wrongly. They could very well point the finger at us in error, blame us unjustly. But then there's another problem, because we might judge ourselves too harshly. We can be too hard on ourselves. We can blame ourselves. And so often people, they start to overanalyze things and they get themselves into a real spirit of defeat because they can go too far and judge themselves too harshly. But then, of course, others may flatter us. And instead of judging us in a negative way, they can flatter us, give us a big head, put us on a pedestal, which again is harmful. And throwing that back on ourselves, there are times when we too can think too highly of ourselves. We can be puffed up. We can even fool ourselves. But David gets off that roller coaster in Psalm 26. And he spreads his testimony before the Lord. And this is what Psalm 26 says. There's only one opinion that matters. And that is the opinion of God. Albert Barnes writes, David's integrity is the first thing which he brings before God for him to examine. The consciousness that he had endeavoured to live an upright life, and yet it is referred to as if he was sensible that he might have deceived himself in this, and therefore he prays that God would determine whether his life had been really upright. The word translated examine in verse 2 means to test. But we get that. It's one of those Hebrew techniques where you say the same thing three ways. Examine, prove, and try me. Test. But it is used in the scripture elsewhere in relation to metal refining. For example, the same Hebrew word, I'm told, is used in Jeremiah 9 and 7, where we read, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. So there you find that metal refining in view. The same occurs in Zechariah 13 and 9. I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will, here's our word, try them as gold is tried. David is saying, apply to me, Lord, the kind of tests that are applied to metals in order to determine their genuineness and their purity. And this is something Peter picks up on in our New Testament regarding the test of our faith, or faith in the furnace. 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried or tested with fire, might be found unto the praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again, Peter, 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, we rarely see it approving a trial or a test as a positive thing. But it should be seen in that way. James 1 and 3 says this, knowing that the trying of your faith produces or works patience. That's a positive thing. I have a little book of English silver hallmarks. And that little book contains all these marks which will be stamped into English silver as a proof of their genuineness as silver. And it's guaranteed by the assay office. You know, gold also carries a hallmark. You look on the inside of your wedding ring, you'll see it there. Some items have gone into auction houses and they don't contain a hallmark, and the auctioneer can't legally sell them as gold or as silver. And he has to use the phrase, for silver, for example, white metal, or for gold, yellow metal. Now, there's probably every assurance in people's own hearts and judgment that it is silver or gold, but he can't legally catalogue that. But they can do tests to see whether they are silver or gold. So a hallmark's important. And a hallmark contains an image. It could be an anchor. It could be a lion. It could be the head of Queen Victoria. An image. You know, one of the hallmarks of us being different and belonging to one who is different, belonging to God, is that we are conformed to his image. Romans 8. A couple of hundred years ago, silver plate was invented. So there you have a base metal, but it's overlaid with a very thin coating of real silver. And it would give the appearance of being a solid silver item. And they even put wee stamps on them that looked like hallmarks. But when you examined them closely, of course, they just said that it was a silver plated item. And in the candlelight of a couple of hundred years ago, and with the limited optician skills that people had, so many folk would be easily fooled. Look for the hallmarks. Look for the image. And David is saying in this psalm, I'm presenting my heart, my mind, my motives to you, God, for your approval. I'm different. I'm different because of you, Lord, because you're different. But I trust also, as David opens his heart before God, that I am different because my testimony shows it. You know, we can be many things in front of others. And probably each and every one of us is. But what we are when we're alone with God is all we really are. But David can also say, we pick this up in the psalm, I'm different. And I'm going to remain different, but it's going to be an ongoing struggle. Verses 4 to 6. I have not sat, this is one of the have nots, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. He's not going to be influenced by this type of person. Verse 5, I have hated or avoided the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. And so, or after having done that, will I approach thine altar, O Lord. You know, one of today's popular buzzwords, and there are many of them, and we don't know the half of them, but one of them is the word influencer. Now, this can be somebody who's a blogger. This can be people who they know how to work a social media platform. They don't necessarily have to be celebs, because you can become an internet sensation overnight, just depending on how you approach it, how clever you are, how unique your approach is. There are people who are campaigners and activists, and they certainly know how to work a social media platform. And they are influencers. You know, I do worry for children brought up in Christian homes. And their influence in Christian circles is less than it would have been in my day. For example, I would have been out at a number of meetings every week. I would have been in and out of the house of the Lord and constantly under that influence. Even the influence of older people within the house of God. The Church of God should never be divided up into this age group and that age group beyond what's practical. But sadly, we can be sitting in fact, people can create a whole new church based on the fact that it's full of young families, to the exclusion of those with the experience that we should be looking to. I learned so much from the influence of others. Being exposed not to the influence of others in church meetings and activities, but allowing our kids to be influenced more in other activities and in other places and in other ways. And that's sadly the picture today. And being exposed less and less to that which would do them good. David tells the Lord that he has chosen not to be influenced by unspiritual people. People who are not motivated by God's glory or for David's ultimate good. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. And that word translated dissemblers has a literal meaning, those that are hidden or there's something concealed. In other words, they hide their true purpose or design. That would describe to us, of course, the hypocrite. They're one thing on the surface, but they're quite another thing underneath. And David is saying, I choose not to sit with them. And sitting suggests being comfortable with them. It suggests more than just rubbing shoulders with them in a must-do capacity because we live in this world where other people exist. Sitting suggests going farther. Sitting suggests wanting to be, choosing to be in that kind of company, preferring that company than sitting in a pew in the church. David's not going to be comfortable in that environment. Why? Well, their hypocrisy would deceive him. Their hypocrisy would maybe even rub off on him and be imitated by him. And these influencers are not going to influence him. I have not sat. Your loving kindness is before my eyes, verse 3. I have walked. So instead of sitting and getting stuck and being held back by ungodly influencers, David's walking, David's progressing, and he's doing so with the Lord's loving kindness, steadfast love before his eyes, and he's walking in the Lord's truth. I've seen, David says, much evidence of your steadfast love and your faithfulness in my life. And that's the direction in which I'm going to walk. Even, Lord, even when you've chastised and corrected me. David wouldn't be sidetracked in his walk with God whenever this kind of evidence is before his eyes. You know, so many people just dismiss God and they've done something wrong. They know rightly that they're in the wrong. And then God comes in his chastisement and allows that correction to come for their good. But they won't take it, they won't accept it. When the ungodly, according to verse 10, plot and plan and manipulate in the flesh towards David, he's not going to lose his confidence in the Lord because he knows that he has been walking with God. Reminds me of Hebrews 10 from verse 35, where the writer says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. David can have confidence too, because he's able to say, Lord, I can lay my life before you. I have done your will. And he has confidence before God. But it's going to be an ongoing struggle to be different. He says, I have not, but he also says, I will. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. He's determined to continue to walk in integrity and in uprightness and in sincerity. And also, the start of verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. I will be firm. I will be level-headed. I will not be up and down in my commitment, even in the midst of all that's hurled at me. I am not going to waver. I haven't wavered, and my determination is that I will not waver now, nor hereafter. And not only that, he says, end of verse 12, I will bless the Lord. He says, I choose to continue to take a public part in public worship because I have much by way of blessing to praise the Lord for. And I haven't enough by way of affliction to prevent me from giving him the glory that is due his name. He's determined to go and worship corporately and gather together and not forsake the assembling of himself with the Lord's people. He's determined to do that because he says, I have much to praise the Lord for, and his presence in worship will say that. And I haven't enough by way of affliction to prevent me from giving glory to his name. You know, sometimes our enthusiasm in these things, it says the opposite. And he's going to proclaim aloud, verse 7, proclaim with thanksgiving aloud and tell of all your wondrous deeds. David was very conscious of God's glory and would never do anything to rob him of it or withhold it from him. He says, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. When we don't feel like praising the Lord, that's the best time to do it. I will bless the Lord at all times, Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David's saying, I'm different. I'm different because of you, Lord. My testimony shows it. But I know it'll be an ongoing struggle to continue to be different. He's being real. And we need to be real. Let's ask ourselves today, are we different? You know, maybe somebody listening to this isn't yet saved. And in that little phrase, gather not my soul with sinners nor my life with bloody men. We could also apply that to the last judgment, the harvest of souls. The winnowing and separation of the wheat from the tares, the wheat from the chaff. God knows there's a difference. And he can separate them out. We can think we're okay, we're good enough. But God's harvest will be conclusive. There will be a final and accurate separation there. As for me, verse 11, make this your prayer if you're not saved today. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. You know, the broad road is full of people who don't want to pay the price for being different. I'm glad David could say, I'm different. And I trust today that I can also say before God, and I trust this is something we can all say before God and God alone, I'm different. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts for his name's sake.